come and sit down. I'm going to come here, and I'm going to sit down too. Excellent. Any more followers of Jesus? You need to have ears as well as be small. Have you got ears? Excellent. If you're bigger and you've got ears, then you can sit further back, but you're going to have to listen more carefully. But as you've got bigger ears, you'll be able to hear from the back, I hope. Is that all right? You've still got to listen with your ears. Excellent. Now, we've got a wonderful crowd of people. Thank you. I want to tell you a story. Now, grown-ups, just listen a minute. This is for the grown-ups, just so they know what's happening. You need to open your Bibles at page 738 and find verse 25. And I'm going to tell a story which is based on verses 25 through 34. But you're going to have to look very carefully because I'm not going to read it straight out of the Bible. So your job is to check what I'm saying. It also fits with what the Bible says. Page 738, Luke 14, verse 25. So please find it, keep your Bibles open, take a look and make sure that what I'm saying fits with that passage. Now, crowd. Imagine this. Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, and it's hot, and it's dusty, and it's a long way. And he's got lots of people following him, and you're the people who are following him. Yeah? What do you say? We're following Jesus. You've got to join in, I'm afraid. We're following Jesus.
We're following Jesus.
That's the one. And he didn't have a car, and he didn't even have a donkey, and it was hot and dusty, and some of the people had blisters already. If you're following in the Bible, you'll find that in verse. No, perhaps you won't find the blisters in verse. I'm imagining. Now, there was this very large crowd of people following Jesus because they had seen him do all sorts of interesting and exciting things. He'd healed people, he'd made people well, and he'd told the Pharisees off because they thought they were so clever, and Jesus knew that they weren't, and the people liked that. So they were excited, and they were following Jesus, and they wanted to be on his side. Now, you're the crowd, so sometimes you've got to join in, and this is where we say again, you're all excited, so you're saying, we're following Jesus.
We're following Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you for joining in at the back too. That's great. Now, this is where the story has a surprise, because Jesus turns round on the journey and he faces all the people who are following him, and he says some very surprising things. He says, stop. You've got to think very hard if you're going to be following me, because, let me explain. And if we listen in, then maybe we'll understand why it's very important that we stop and think about why we're following Jesus. Two. Brian, Andrew, could you turn the next slide, which I think will tell us where we're going? Yes. Are you going to be a follower or a disciple? And if we could put one more slide up, then you're done. Thank you very much. Jesus wants to make a difference between people who are following Jesus and people who are disciples. And the crowd, that's you, don't understand. So quite often you're looking puzzled. We'll find that out as we go along. This is what he started off by saying. He said, stop. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must hate their family and even their brothers and sisters and even be prepared to die. Now, they looked a bit shocked. How many of you hate your brothers and sisters? One or two hands going up. Yeah. Well, sometimes I understand. Now, the crowd were very puzzled because they knew that the Bible said you've got to love your families. In fact, it even says in the Ten Commandments, love your father, honor your father and your mother. So they were very puzzled. You've got to be very puzzled. And you say, I don't understand. What did you say? I don't understand. That's right. Yeah. And someone said in the crowd, someone who had been listening very carefully, said, I know. I think what he means is that we should love Jesus even more than our families. And Jesus looked at that person and said, yes, that's right. Anyone who wants to be a disciple of mine has to love me even more than their brothers and sisters, their mums and dads, and their whole family, even more than their own lives. And the people, the crowd, said, oh, well, that's all right then, because we're following Jesus. What did they say? We're following Jesus. Yeah. But Jesus looked sadly at them because they still didn't really understand. So he said to them, why do you think I'm going to Jerusalem? And one of them said, to buy a donkey? And he said, no, this isn't a joke. I'm not going to buy a donkey, although I will borrow one. You seem to think that it doesn't cost anything to be a disciple, to become a Christian. Although salvation is free, it's not cheap. I'm going to Jerusalem to die on a cross. And if you want to be my disciple, it's going to be costly for you too. Now the people were very confused and they said, I don't understand. What did they say? I don't understand. And so Jesus said, let me explain with some examples. It's hot and dusty. If you've got a Bible, you'll find this next bit on verse 28. Jesus said, supposing one of you wants to build a tower with Lego. When your tower is only half built, you run out of Lego bricks. Now, what are you going to do? You can't carry on. You've only got half a tower. That's no good. If you haven't got enough bricks, you just can't build a very big tower. And Jesus said, what's even sadder is when a man or a woman spends their whole life building their business or their home or their family or their reputation, and they put all their money and all their time and all their effort into doing that, only to discover much later on that they haven't built anything that counts for anything. Like the bridge that's only half finished. It's no use. What do you call somebody who's very, very silly, done something very silly? Any ideas? Yes? Any ideas of what you'd call somebody who's very silly? Clumsy, could be. Yes?
A silly billy,
that's a good one.
A wally.
A plonker. A dork. Very silly. Well, Jesus said, disciples know that they have to build on a rock. That's by doing what I say. And if they're going to build something proper. And they know it's going to be costly. And the cost isn't lots of money. It's deciding to put Jesus first when you really want to do your own thing. And he said, well, silly Billy, Wally, that's how the people who are going to feel when they realize later on that what they've been building wasn't built on me, the rock, Jesus. And they're going to feel really like a silly Billy. Then he looked straight at some of the people and he said, there will be a cost if you're going to be my disciple. Don't think it's going to be easy. It's no cheap or easy way to carry a cross. Let me give you another example, said Jesus. Think about an army going into battle. If you've got a Bible, you'll find this in verse 33. If you want to be a disciple of mine, you know you're going to be in a battle, but not one with guns and tanks, but one where the devil is going to try and stop you being my Christian disciple. Now, you need to think very carefully before going into a battle to figure out if you can win. Because battles are dangerous. And the people said, hey, I don't understand. What did they say? I don't understand. What's being a Christian got to do with being in a battle? Well, you might look at the large number of people who are not Christians and think, there are lots of them and not many of us Christians. How on earth are we going to win this battle? And if we're honest, we know that we're not very good at being Christians anyway, and sometimes we don't even do what Jesus says, and we might even forget about him sometimes. And Jesus said, "Yeah, that's true, I know that. But my disciples, they know that they can't win this battle by themselves. They're going to have to rely on me completely to win this battle." Then Jesus took another surprising turn. He said, "Do any of you watch football on telly?" I think you won't find that in verse whatever.
Well, you don't have telly then.
They didn't then, that's a good point. But we do now. Do you watch football on television sometimes?
Yes. Yep.
Who supports Manchester United? Yeah, several shirts here. Who supports Cambridge United? That'll be me. Well, just suppose there's going to be a big match on television. Manchester United against Cambridge United. Who do you think's going to win?
Man U!
Man U! Anybody else supporting Man U? Got to shout if you're going to support them.
Man U!
Cambridge supporters, you've got to shout. Yeah. Jesus said, "Well, when it comes to football, you might be right." And the score on the football match went like this. Manchester United 1, Cambridge 0. Manchester United 2, Cambridge 0. All you Manchester United supporters have got to cheer when they score a goal. Cheer.
Yeah.
3-0. Oh no, it's 4-0. But then, surprise of surprises, the Cambridge people get the ball in the goal, it's over the head of the goalie, and the Cambridge supporter goes wild. Jesus says, when it comes to football, you might be able to tell who's going to win. But when you come to the battle that we're in as Christians in this world, you might have to rely on something you can't see. My disciples know what the victory is going to be. My disciples know that I, Jesus, have already won the victory when I die on a cross. And although there are many people who are not Christians, the victory is mine, says Jesus. So Jesus says, are you following the world's ways, or are you going to be a disciple of mine? Life is a spiritual battle. There's no way around that. And you better think very carefully which side you are on. You can't be on both sides at once. Which side are you on, he said. Now, lots of the people in the crowd were beginning to feel a bit discouraged and uncomfortable. We're feeling a bit discouraged and uncomfortable. Jesus said, one more thing. I'll give you one more example. Disciples are like salt. And all the people said, eh? I don't understand. What has salt got to do with being a disciple? And Jesus said, I'll explain. And you'll find this if you've got a Bible in verse 34. Salt is salt because it's salty. That's what salt is. It's salty. You only need a little bit of salt on to make your food salty. You only need a little bit. And that's what the job of salt is, to be salty. And if it's not salty, it's no use at all, is it? And the crowd said, I still don't understand. What did they say? That's right. And Jesus said, well, let me explain. Disciples have a job to do too. And if they don't do their job, they're no use. What's the point of my having disciples work for me if they don't work? And he carried on. Some people go to church because their parents go to church. Some people go to church because they like the music. Some people go to church to see their friends. And Jesus said, All of that is fine, but if that's all they do, that's not the job of being a disciple. They're not my disciples. I need disciples who are going to give themselves to me and depend completely on me. And they will be my witnesses and bring glory to my name. And that's going to take all of their time and all of their effort and all of their lives to become learners, disciples with me. I don't want followers, Jesus said. I want disciples. And lots of the people said, well, we just wanted to see your healings and the miracles, and we've got to go back to our families soon. It'll be time for tea. And we don't have time for all of this stuff about disciples. And Jesus said, yes, it's very hard being a disciple. You've got to give up everything to be my disciple. That's in verse 33. You've got to give up everything to be my disciple. And the crowd just said, oh. And lots of the people in the crowd said, well, that's very interesting, but if there's no miracles, I'm going back home for tea. And as they were walking off, Jesus said, that's very, very sad. They seem to think that following this world is going to be easier, but it's not at all easy if you're going to end up feeling like a very silly Billy, having spent your whole life building something that doesn't work and being on the losing side in the battle of life. My disciples actually will see an amazing miracle. They'll find out that I will give them more than they ever gave away, and they will end up really rich in the things that matter, and they will live with me in my love forever. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Have you got ears? You got to listen. So, to finish off, if you're not yet a Christian, this passage gives us some very good reasons for not being a Christian. It's going to be hard, it's going to be costly, and Jesus has got work for you that you may not feel like doing. But the passage also tells us that if we decide not to become a Christian, not to be a disciple, we'll end up feeling like a complete fool for having wasted our lives and being on the losing side for all eternity. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, this passage also has a warning for us, because Jesus says, I don't want followers, I want disciples. So we have to think very carefully about that. And if you're already a disciple of Jesus, and you know and understand what I'm talking about, then Jesus' words still pack a challenge. He's pointing out that he wants us to give him into his hands the things we're still clinging on to, the towers that we're still trying to build by ourselves, the battles we're still trying to win by ourselves. And we need to go to Jesus and say, we're very sorry. We'll depend just on you. And all the people said, oh, I do understand. I do understand. I pray it would be so. Thank you very much for helping me with my talk. When you go home, I suggest you read what the Bible actually says rather than my rather loose paraphrase. But it's a challenging message to us all. Thank you very much for helping. Thank you.